Welcome to Healing Unto the Nations, the Apostolic Teaching Ministry and World Outreach Atmawo of Living Salt Ministries International. Sit back and receive God's undiluted counsel through God's chosen servant, Reverend Dr. Olufunsha Joseph Omidiro. Healing Unto the Nations, your life will never be the same again.
Praise the Lord. Let us pray. In the name of Jesus, King of Glory, we submit ourselves to the power of your word and to the authority of your word. Lord, bless the ministry of your word today. Speak to every one of your people and let our lives be totally transformed. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to share with you on this subject, healing unto the nations. Healing unto the nations. This statement itself happens to serve as a kind of slogan or caption that we normally put after the name of the ministry that the Lord gave to us. The name of the ministry is Living Salt Ministries International. And we put it as a kind of suffix, healing unto the nations. How did we come about it? I remember way back in June 1991, I was in the presence of God in prayer. I was seeking God about His plan for my life in ministry. By that time, I was in my fourth year in the university, my penultimate year. I had known that the Lord had called me for a work, but I needed to seek Him so that I wouldn't make mistakes in life. As I began to pray, I was asking God, "What is it that you want me to do? The work you have called me to do, what pattern would it follow?" Then He gave me the name of the ministry. Then I heard it in the spirit. I heard Living Salt. Living Salt. Then He began to define the ministry to me as ministry of comfort to the afflicted, restoration to the downtrodden, rest for the weary, and healing unto the nations. He said ministry of comfort to the afflicted, restoration to the downtrodden, rest for the weary, and healing unto the nations. What happened was that I began to hear that statement, healing unto the nations, over and over and over again. It continued to re-echo to me in the spirit, healing unto the nations, healing unto the nations. At this juncture, it is very important to have a good look at the vision of God as God gave to His servant. The Bible tells us the book of Habakkuk chapter 2 from verses 2 and 3. The Bible says, "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." Hallelujah. Truly, every vision of God is for an appointed time. But the Bible first of all tells us to write it down. Make it plain upon tables. That's the second thing He says. First thing He says, write the vision. And make it plain upon the tables. And by the grace of God, that is what we are trying to do through this sharing today. Hallelujah. Make it plain upon the tables. Make sure you understand the nitty-gritty of it. It should be clearly spelled out. It should be clearly understood. By the mercies of the Lord, over the years, the Lord has been dealing with us concerning what He has been saying. And we have found God to be true. We have found Him to be faithful. We have found Him to be real. He can never lie. The Bible says we should make it plain on the tables that he may run that readeth it. I believe that as you hear this message, you'll be able to read it in the spirit. You'll be able to understand it. And as you read this message you are hearing, you'll be able to run in life. You'll be able to run the race of God. And you'll be able to do your own part in the destiny program of God. Hallelujah. So I heard the echoing, healing unto the nations, healing unto the nations. And I will never forget it, because it was so clear. The Lord spoke to me, and I knew that the Lord is true. And I kept this revelation to myself for many years. I began to pray, I began to seek the Lord. While I still continued in my service as a leader, as a servant among the people of God. Then in 1997, I had a dealing of God that caused a permanent turnaround in my life. This led me forcefully to go ahead and obey the mandate of God to pursue the vision. God's dealing was so intense that because I was not responding immediately to it, I lost so many things within a short time. I had to go seeking God's face for the way out, in fasting, in prayer, so as to know the cause of all ensuing predicament. I was into some private business, but nevertheless, I was not having real peace. I lost a lot that was in my possession, and I couldn't understand why. Eventually, as I began to seek God, I began to seek Him with tears, with crying. The Lord reproved me for having wasted many years of my life, for having relegated my mandate. All through the period I was in the denomination where I was serving, I was part of the leadership team. I had been involved in the denomination, in the group, and God had blessed me as He was training me, and I was opportuned to occupy different positions. So the Lord had to rebuke me because I was not really where I ought to be. He told me I was 3 years behind, 3 years behind in His program. I cried and sought for His mercy, and He bade me go. This happened towards the end of June 1997. Between June 28 and July 1st, 1997, I was in the presence of God, and I surrendered all to Him. He told me to seek Him. He told me to abandon every other thing that I was looking up to and to surrender all. Praise the Lord. There were some things He told me then that I may not be able to explain fully because of time. Eventually, by reason of the dealing of God, the ministry was inaugurated officially on the 4th of October, 1997. Living Sword Ministries International was born. In the process of time, healing unto the nations became an official suffix that follows the name of the ministry. It's like a slogan, it is like a suffix that goes with the nomenclature of the ministry. I remember traveling to Warri in the Niger Delta area of Nigeria in the year 2001 for some missionary trip. That was around July 29, 2001. Actually, it was my birthday and I had to go on trip, and the pastor of one of the churches I visited specifically requested me to speak on this theme, healing unto the nations. He said that thing really touched his heart. It moved him. And he would love me to expatiate a little bit and to share with the congregation of the Lord so that they would learn something from it. During the Sunday worship, I was called upon to share with the people. It dawned on me that I was inadvertently being given an opportunity to speak concerning my lifetime mandate. and I took the opportunity with joy. To me, it was a divinely arranged platform to challenge God's children for world evangelism and missions, the very heartbeat of God. I believe that I shall be sharing on the same thing with you today. You'll be challenged. You'll be touched by what touches the heart of God. You'll be moved by what moves God. And you'll be concerned by the concern of God. At this point, the Lord helped me to share with the people on the subject of healing unto the nations. May you also be able to hear clearly the voice of the Holy One from above as we share together today in Jesus' name. Why healing unto the nations? We need to ask, why this topic? Why this issue? With the understanding the Lord began to give me as time went on in life, I discovered that there is more to it than a slogan or a mere suffix. It is a call to a worldwide action, urgent action, because our Lord Jesus Christ will soon come back. It says healing unto the nations. Let me first start with the word nations. The word nations in Greek, as it is found in the Greek New Testament, is ethnos. And ethnos, that is the word from where the English word ethnic or ethnic group arises from. Ethnos means the nations or a people's group. It is not speaking of nations in the common sense we see it today as countries. But actually, in a country, there are different nations, people of different origins, different people's group. For instance, in my country, Nigeria, there are different people's groups. And we understand that there are over 500 people's groups or 500 languages belonging to people of different people's groups. Now, in every country, there are actually nations. In our communities, people of different ethnic background are found. So when the Lord is calling us for this task of bringing healing unto the nations, it is speaking of reaching out to people of different groups or ethnic origin, touching them, touching their lives. Then when you look at the word unto the nations, it speaks of going from one point, from the point where we are, to them where they are. So it is a going word, unto, that is from a point to another point. The question I cannot answer for myself except through the Holy Spirit who called me, the Holy One who called me, is that it is a deep task. It goes beyond my own power. It goes beyond my own ability. It is actually a mandate that is applicable to a generation of people that God is raising in our days who must go and touch other lives in other places. With all humility, I make bold to say the commission is from God, even from the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord. The Bible says, in Him we live and move and have our being, in Acts chapter 17, verse 28. Without Him, we can do nothing. Through the help of the Holy Spirit, we can be enabled to share this very vision with as many as are willing to listen. Healing unto the nations. Now, the word healing speaks of curing and making well those who are sick. So when the Lord is speaking of healing unto the nations, it is upon the presupposition that the world is sick. The nations are sick. The Lord wants to bring healing unto the nations because the nations are sick. There are ailments in the nations, among the peoples of different groups in the world. God wants to cure them. He wants to make them well. those who are having sicknesses, those who are having diseases. There are first of all spiritual sicknesses, spiritual diseases among the people. The nations are having diseases. The greatest sickness of all nations is sin. The world is not well. That's why Jesus Christ came. Because they missed the vital life, the Zoe, that makes well. The world is sick in the head, sick in the heart. There is a description about the world that God gives, especially about the nation of Israel, in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, to explain further that the nations are sick. If God uses this same word for the nation of Israel, which had been presumed or which had been taken as God's own people, then you can imagine what is happening in all other idolatrous nations that do not know God. Isaiah chapter 1 verses 5 and 6. Why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. This speaks of the condition of a nation, the nation of Israel, and much more, the nations of this world, the peoples. The peoples are made up of individuals. The borderline of it all is individual persons in each nation. Sick in the head, sick in the heart. Because men are sick in the heart, they are weary of God. There are a lot of people who are trying to remove God consciousness from their agenda, from their thinking, from their national life, because they want to pretend as if there is no God. The Bible calls them fools. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. So first of all, the nations are sick. The nations are ailing. The nations are having diseases. And the greatest disease is spiritual. And it is basically sin. That is why the world is becoming more and more sophisticated in unrighteousness. Wickedness is increasing from place to place. And yet God wants to bring healing unto the nations so that many lives will be brought from darkness to light. This is our commission. This is our calling. This is our passion. This we must do because we are duty bound. We have been bound by God. Hallelujah. Number two, the nations are stricken. They are hurting. So that is why there is need for healing unto the nations. They are stricken, they are hurt. If you look at that Isaiah, where we just read now, that Isaiah chapter 1, look at verse 5 again. Why should ye be stricken anymore? They have been stricken. And God himself is making this statement out of compassion. Why should you continue to be stricken? Why should you continue to be injured? The nations have been stricken, they have been injured. In other words, they have been wounded. Hallelujah. What God is saying is that there is trouble in the nations. They have been stricken because of their unrighteousness. They have been stricken because they have gone the way of wickedness. And Satan, the evil one, is having his way in their lives. Actually, the Bible tells us, in 1 John chapter 5 verse 19, about the condition of this world. About the condition of this world. If you go to 1 John chapter 5 and look at verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world lieth in wickedness. It should sound like this. The old world lies in the wicked one. Wickedness is in the power of the wicked one. That is Satan. So Satan is corrupting the whole world. That is why the world is sick. There is much corruption. There is unrighteousness. Millions of people are trooping to hell every year. Millions are perishing in hell. A statistical analysis reveals that every second, about 20 people die ordinarily. Every second. Every second. Not to talk of when there is sudden calamity, natural disasters, accidents, evil tragedies taking place. Just in ordinary sense, imagine 20 people dying per second. It is a very horrible thing. And many of these people, most of these people are trooping to hell, to an hopeless end. God is calling us to go and deliver the nations. They are stricken. They are hurting. There are a lot of people who are hurting in this world. Some are hurting because they have been cheated. They have taken wrong decisions. They have fallen astray. Some are hurting regrettably. They are regretting that they lived their lives in the wrong way. A man of God was being interviewed one time about his conversion experience. He shared his experience of how he met the Lord in the course of his journey in life. Later, they asked him a question. Do you have any regrets at all? He said, oh, if I have any regrets, my regret was that, what was I waiting for? Why have I been waiting? He said that was his only regret. He regretted that he did not know the Lord early in life. However, the Bible tells us, especially the youths today, it tells every one of us, and most especially, it speaks to the youths of the world today. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, it says, remember therefore now thy God in the day of thy youth, when the evil days have not come. That man of God said his regret was that he did not know the Lord much earlier. Because when he got into the Lord, when he knew the gospel, he became a Christian. He discovered that there is absolute peace. There is absolute rest. There is life. There is true joy. And there is hope of eternal life in Christ. A lot of people came to Christ after they had been wounded. After they had been hurt. There are a lot of stricken people, hurting people, that the Lord nevertheless wants to save. Even though they have wasted their years in sin, in unrighteousness. Some have been wounded in the body. They have been broken. Some of them are having terrible diseases. There is the evil scourge of HIV/AIDS all over the world. There is a lot of catastrophe. And yet, the Lord still wants to save. He does not want anyone to perish. That was why the Lord called us. Number three, the nations are weakened. The nations of the world are weakened. That is why God wants to bring healing unto the nations. They are weakened by Lucifer the devil. As a result, they need healing. They are weakened in their conscience. If you go to Isaiah chapter 14 verse 12, you will understand what we are trying to say. Isaiah chapter 14 verse 12. Isaiah chapter 14 verse 12. The Bible shows us something deep about the condition of the nations. Isaiah chapter 14 verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? One of the jobs of Satan is to weaken the nations. He weakens the nations. And when we talk of the nations, it speaks of the people's groups. And each people's groups is made up of individuals. He weakens individuals. He weakens people. He weakens communities. He weakens men. First, he weakens men in their conscience. A lot of people are committing a lot of horrible atrocities today, and they don't even feel it. They don't feel sorry, and they still continue. They kill, they maim, they injure others, they oppress one another, they destroy lives and property. Men go at will and kill fellow men. Hired assassins are relishing. They are making money from destroying other people's lives. But it happens because their consciences are weakened. We need to understand one thing. The world is even seeking new interpretations to matters of morality because their consciences are weakened. For instance, homosexuals who are abominable to God are being referred to as people with special problems. At times, they are not even seen as people with problems. They see them as people with special abilities. Or at times, they refer to them with people living with alternative lifestyles. And there are nations of this world, especially the Western world, where they are trying to legalize that which the Lord has condemned. This was the reason why God also destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even though he was looking for a way not to destroy the place, if only there could be enough righteous people. But there was none. Eventually, God vented his anger upon the evil and adulterous generation. So men are seeking new interpretations, new definitions for morality. They are trying to modernize and to make mild that which is terribly horrible, that which the Lord has seen as abomination, that which the Lord has rejected, that which is leading to hell. Yet men want to continue in their own way. But God wants to deliver the nations. A lot of people's consciences are weakened. They have even lost conscience. No sense of true reasoning. For instance, people are beginning to give new definitions for the home or family institution. The family unit is being weakened. There are a lot of cases of divorce in the courts of law. There are people who even enjoy divorce because they seem to make a lot of wealth out of it. They make filthy lucre out of unrighteousness. They see it as a means of gain. Again, God wants to bring healings to the nations because there is no soundness in the nations. It is a person who is not sound that needs healing. They are not sound in the body, they are not sound in the soul, they are not sound in the spirit. So there is first of all lack of spiritual soundness. There is lack of moral soundness. Again, there are other lack of soundness like lack of financial soundness, lack of physical soundness. There is poverty, there is war, there is turmoil, there is anguish, there is a lot of pain, wars and rumors of war all over. The nations have been wounded. Several lives have been wasted. There are nations that are suffering serious tragedies. And all of these are signs of the end, as the Lord has already predicted in the book of Matthew chapter 24, that nations will rise against nations. Poverty, destruction of lives, sexual sins, immorality, all of these things express the fact that there is no soundness in men. They are not sound spiritually. God wants to touch the nations because there is no spiritual soundness. Even among a lot of people who claim to be Christians, they claim to be in the church, they are not sound in the word of God. That is why healing must still be brought unto the nations, so that men will know the truth. They will be sound in the truth, and the truth will make them free. Again, the nations are wounded and bruised. That is why there must be healing in the nations. They are lacerated. Men are injuring themselves because they chose to be far from God. Bloodshed, destruction, catastrophes, natural and unnatural disasters abound. We have had a lot of invitations from countries in Asia, like in India, in Pakistan, and several African nations, beckoning to us to visit their nations with the gospel. There are a lot of invitations. And there are a lot of burdens the Lord has put in our hearts to reach a lot of nations within Africa and to touch them, to bring them into the counsel of God. Because the nations are wounded, they are bruised, there must be healing. Jesus has come to bring healing unto the hurting nations, unto the wounded nations, unto the bruised nations. Again, the nations are putrefying, they are stinking with sores. Almost incurable. Naturally incurable sores. Putrefying sores. According to Isaiah chapter 1 verse 16, the Bible describes the condition of the nation of Israel and of course the condition of several nations that have forsaken God. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. The word ointment there is the anointing of God. It is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the oil of God. The Lord sends us to go into the nations in the power of the anointing. I will speak shortly about that. Hallelujah. So the nations are stinking with sores. The nations are in trouble. The nations are endangered. There are a lot of endangered species of people who have never heard the gospel. They are still existing in this world. There are other endangered species who have been hoodwinked by the false religions of this world. And these people are so hostile to the gospel. They hate the gospel. They don't want to hear anything about the Lord Jesus because they have been overrun by the lies of the devil. And yet, there are people among them that will know the Lord. As we go to give them the gospel, they shall be saved. So these are the conditions of the nation. These are the simple reasons that show the need for healing unto the nations. We continue with this message after this time out.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen on you. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord your God shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Yes, the Lord your God shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Yes, the Lord your God shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. And shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen on you. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. For the Lord your God shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Yes, the Lord your God shall arise upon you, and His glory shall be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Yes, the Lord your God shall arise upon you, and His glory shall be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Yes, the Lord your God shall arise upon you, and His glory shall be seen upon you.
The Bible tells us in that Isaiah we just read now that these people needed their conditions to be mollified with the ointment, which is the oil of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit operates in the lives of His servants, in the lives of His ministers. The oil that will mollify the trouble of the nations, the troubles, the sicknesses, the wounds, the lacerations, the conditions of the nations, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That is the power that brings healing to the nations. And that is the only power we depend upon. The power of the Holy Spirit. That is the power that brings solution. Men have heard the word in our little ways, in our little experiences. The Lord has given us opportunities to touch some lives. People who have surrendered their hearts to Jesus, having realized that it is only Jesus that can save them. Hallelujah. In Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 to 3, the Bible tells us all about the issue of healing unto the nations by the power of the anointing of God. The healing power, the saving power. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. The nations are mourning. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Why does God do this? That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. That is why the Lord is sending us by the power of his anointing. All these people will be transformed to become the trees of righteousness. They will no more be embodiments of corruption. They will no more be embodiments of wickedness, but they will become trees of righteousness, grown by the Lord himself, planted by the Lord himself, so that the Lord might be glorified in their lives. God is going to be glorified in the nations of Africa, the nations of Asia. We have received a lot of invitations from them. There is a lot of corruption in the West, in Europe, and the Lord God of heaven is reaching out to a lot of people. In America, in the United States, in the Pacific region, in Australia, in New Zealand, all over the world, there is a cry in the nations. I received an email some few days ago from Pakistan, from some group of ministers who were calling that they are ready, that we should come. They are ready. Their heart is open. The Lord is going to be sending his servants to the nations. And he called us for this same purpose, and we are ready. By the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it is possible. The Holy Ghost is a healing spirit. He brings healing unto the nations. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God, the nations, cities, homes, individual lives, families shall be healed. Hallelujah. Concerning the solution for the issue of healing unto the nations, apart from the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the second thing we depend upon, which is so related, is the Word of God. Healing comes to the world by the ministry of the Word of God. We are committed to the undiluted counsel of God, to the ministry of the Word of God. We are not going to compromise that. We are indebted to God and his holy word. The Bible tells us something. In the book of Acts, the Bible says something. When Paul was speaking to the elders in Ephesus, he said, I commit you to the word of God that is able to establish you. So the word of God is what brings establishment. Praise the Lord. The word of his grace. Let us read it. The book of Acts. That is Acts chapter 20. Let us see how it is put there. Acts chapter 20. So the word of God, the ministry of the word, is so important. Very, very important. We cannot compromise it. We cannot deny it. Hallelujah. In the book of Acts chapter 20, verse 32, the Bible gives us a clear picture of how important the ministry of the word is. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. The word of God, the word of his grace, is what is able to build people up. It is not man-made doctrines. It is not hopeless traditions that are not scriptural. It is not gimmicks, but the word of God that will last. So we are committed to that, through the ministry of the word, we are reaching out to the nations of the world. We are touching different nations by the grace of God. We have a teaching ministry on the internet from where we are reaching different nations of the world, thousands of people every week, and there have been increase. There have been divine transformations. There have been testimonies. And truly, there are a lot of people who are hungry for the word of God. And I'm telling you, it is that word of His grace that is able to build people up. Lies will not build people up. Traditions will not build people up. Gimmicks will not build people up. A lot of heretic manipulations are taking place among the people in the modern church today. Much of these things are because of filthy lucre. People are telling lies. They are lying in the name of God. We know that the judgment of God will not tarry, and the Lord will show the difference between those who serve Him and those who are lying. Hallelujah. No wonder in the book of Acts, chapter 6, when you look at verse 4, the apostles of Christ said something that touches my heart. They say, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Prayer and the ministry of the word. It is of necessity that the word of the Lord must be spoken. It must be ministered in verity. It must be ministered in the power of the Holy Spirit. So it is the combination of these two forces, the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and the word of God, that will bring healings unto the nations. This is confirmed in the book of Psalms, Psalm 107, verse 20. Psalm 107, verse 20. The Bible tells us there that He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. So it is the word of God, the ministry of the word of God, that will bring about healing. It is not mere manipulations. If we allow the word of God to have its free course through us and in us, and the power of the Holy Spirit operates, lives will be transformed. And this is our commitment. The word must be preached. It must be taught among the nations. God sent His word to bring healing and deliverance. Hallelujah. Healing takes place also by the demonstration of practical love. That is the third thing we use to bring healing unto the nations. Demonstration of practical love. The first thing is the power of the Holy Spirit. The second thing is the ministry of the word. And thirdly, demonstration of practical love. The Bible tells us in John chapter 3 verse 16 that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 14, Apostle Paul says, "The love of Christ constraineth us." Paul is saying that we go to preach, we go to teach men, we go to share the gospel, because we are constrained by the love that Christ has shown to the whole world. Christ loves everyone, every nation, people of different races, of different colors, of different creeds. He's reaching out to everyone because every one of us belong to Him. We belong to the same God. We are from the same source. And God is jealous for our souls. He wants to heal us. He wants to save us. And He's showing it by His love. As we demonstrate practical love, we are able to bring healing to the hurting people. That is why we have different dimensions of ministry that we are operating by the grace of God under this commission. One of it is what we call the Saints Relief Foundation. It is for the purpose of bringing relief to the hurting, to the wounded, to the devastated, so that they can pick up their lives and rise up again. By this, it is to care for the poor, to care for the needy, to remember them, for Jesus died for them. Jesus was anointed to bring healing, to preach the gospel to the poor. Those who are poor spiritually, those who are poor materially, those who are poor in different dimensions. So, it is by demonstrating love, the work of charity, that we can bring healing to their lives. They will hear the gospel and they will be saved. There are a lot of endeavors before us in the rural communities and in the urban centers of different countries. We are having a very special focus upon Africa through our Africa and World Inland Mission, by which we are touching communities, touching them through the ministers, reaching to the grassroots, so that men will not only hear the gospel, they will also be encouraged to continue living in this world. A lot of people are despaired of life. They are discouraged. They are perplexed. They are going up to the extent of destroying their own lives because they don't know where to go. But God has called us to remember the poor. Like I mentioned earlier on, one of our areas of bringing the work of God to bear is through our teaching ministry on the internet, reaching out to different people, giving them the very message of the Lord Jesus as He has sent us. This apostolic mandate is something that we are forever committed to. We also have crusades, outreaches to different places. As we share the gospel, different people have been coming to the Lord, knowing the truth, and the truth has been setting them free. We also organize teaching seminars, especially what we call Eternal Life Seminar. The Lord spoke to me when He was calling me into full-time ministry to be organizing Eternal Life Seminar from place to place, from nation to nation, from region to region. The Lord has been so good. He has been helping us as we have started to obey this mandate. The Lord has been bringing His people to feed in the meat of the word, into the solid meat of the word, so that they would grow. This particular Eternal Life Seminar is a special mission, more especially to the believers, ministers of God, disciples of Christ. We invite you to be a part of it as the door opens in your community. Praise the Lord. We also have publication ministry. We publish books, tracts, and we do have magazines. There is a teaching gazette, Christian teaching gazette, freely that we have been publishing since the year 1999. It is part of our literature mission. So the literature mission encompasses our writing ministry, whereby the Lord has been touching so many lives. We also do old discipleship training programs and church planting as part of our efforts. This training also includes our Chrisma Bible Academy, which is also in connection with Able Ministers International in the United States. So we have Chrisma Bible Academy, Able Ministers International Bible Training Center. We have in Nigeria, and we hope to have in different parts of the world, to reach out to people, to train God's disciples, God's servants, to stand upon the truth, to prepare them for the work of the ministry. This is very important. Hallelujah. We also have media outreaches through our teaching ministry on media, audiovisual activities. So as we reach out to people through our tapes ministry, CDs, and all of that, television and radio, we believe so many lives will be transformed because our God is true to His word. There will definitely be healing unto as many as the Lord has ordained. We have our itinerant ministry, which is called Apostolic Teaching Ministry and World Outreach. This is the name given to the itinerant ministry the Lord committed to my hand to reach out from place to place as God opens doors to us. This is a mandate that we are committed to. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Little has been done, I must tell you, because there is so much to do, because of one limitation or the other. But we trust the Lord that He will bring us through. We will get to the place where He's taking us. We want to encourage everyone that is hearing us to understand the mission that the Lord has committed to our hands and to partake of it as the Lord enables you. Our vision at a glance: we are called to evidently set forth and rightly divide the undiluted word of truth in order to invest souls into God's kingdom through the gospel of Christ, to set the captives free by the power of God, to raise men, that is laborers, for the end time harvest, and to call back the church, the body of Christ, to heavenly order and righteousness. We are committed to this, and we call forward as many as are touched of the Lord, as many will be partakers of this same assignment, to join force with us as we do the will of God. We know that there is a reward for you. I want to close this message by sharing a verse with us from Isaiah chapter 32, verse 20. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 20. The Bible says something there which I want you to hold on to. And as you hold on to it, your life will never be the same. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 20. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. The Bible is giving us a revelation here concerning those who labor for Him. The Bible says, blessed are those people who sow beside all waters. God is calling for sowers. People who will sow their efforts, their labor. For what purpose? That send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. The ox and the ass speak of animals or beasts that are used in labor, in cultivating. For instance, the ox is used to make ridges, to plow the ground. They are used like what we know as tractors today. And that is what God has called His ministers to do. Like tractors, to break grounds for the Lord. And then the ass. The ass is a beast of burden. What the ass does is to carry the harvested product from the farm to take it to the place where it will be used. So the Lord has called His ministers worldwide like ox. They are likened to the tractors, the labor on the field. We break ground. We sow the seed of the gospel in the hearts of men. There may be ardent places. By the power of the Holy Ghost, they are softened and they are brought into the knowledge of Christ. And then we are also likened to us, because we go to harvest souls, to harvest people into God's kingdom. Now the Bible says, blessed are those people who sow beside all waters, that send forth the feet, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. Oftentimes the word waters can speak of the nations, the people. Peoples of different nations in the world, they are likened to waters. There are places in the book of Revelation where the Bible says that there were multitudes of people like waters, like waters. Hallelujah. So God has sent us to reach to people in different nations, but we cannot do it by ourselves. There are some people that God will bless as they help us in sending us forth with their support, with their substance, with what God has given to them, so that we would succeed in what God has given us. Actually, we are all laborers, but God has put us in different departments. God has sent some people to go into the nations, into different corners, nooks and crannies. And then some have been called of God, so to send them forth, to support them, to give them a push, financial push, material push, to encourage them, to support them. We are not begging, but we are telling you what God says. The Bible declares such people as blessed, as blessed. We know God has been blessing the work He has committed to our hands, and everyone that has been supporting us in one way or the other have testimonies of truth in the Lord that truly they are blessed. We call forth more sowers who will sow into the waters, who will sow around the waters, who will reach out with us. No one man can do it alone. Nobody is able, but our God is most able to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. As we go forth, the Lord is ready to reward us. Healing unto the nations. This is the heartbeat of God. What part will you play? I challenge you to make yourself ready, to make your substance ready, to make ready what you are and what you have, and you will not lose your reward. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. I want to pray for everyone who wants to be healed by the power of God's healing unto the nations. And I want to pray for everyone who is ready to support what the Lord has placed in our hands. As you make yourself available, there is a release to join force with us to touch the nations. King of glory, I release them to you. Make them strong. Strengthen their hands. Bless them, O Lord. Let the heavens open upon every one of us. And at the end of the day, count us all worthy of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we have prayed. God bless you. We love you. Thank you.
We believe the Lord has blessed you through the ministry of His word. It's your turn to go and act upon it. For further information and inquiries, contact us. Apostolic Teaching Ministry and World Outreach, Akmawo, Living Sword Ministries International, Plot 3, Aderibibi Layout, directly opposite Bishop Phillips Academy, Iworod, Ibadan. GPO Box 12440, Ibadan, Nigeria. Email info@livingsword.org or akmawo@livingsword.org. Visit our website today, www.livingsword.org. Jesus Christ is Lord.